Good morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given. We thank you for your word, Lord, and how awesome and powerful it is. And Father, we thank you for Pastor Dale and Sandra, Lord. We just ask that you be with them. Heal them, Lord, and may they feel better quickly. And be with this service, Lord. Open our hearts that we might learn of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as most of you know by now, Dale and Sandra are both sick. And with Scott being out of the area and Leon and his family, they asked me to preach this morning. So I'm going back to some old notes that I had that I gave a couple years ago on angels. And actually, this is the message I'll give today is one of three. So this is kind of an introduction to the topic of angels. And in the NASB, there are 277 verses that talk about an angel or angels, 290 times. And we've all seen stories or heard stories of people seeing angels or angels protecting someone. And we've seen these stories on TV, like Touched by an Angel. We all remember that show. And do people really see angels today? And if so, what are they doing? Wonderful as the presence of an angel might be, God has given us something better than an angel. He has given us the greatest gift of all, His presence through the Holy Spirit. And He's given us His Word. We have to be careful who we think may be an angel, because Scripture warns us that even Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. More importantly, Scripture gives no basis for assuming that angels help non-Christians. Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?" The Bible teaches angels as ministering spirits to serve those who inherit salvation. Who are these people destined to inherit salvation? The Bible makes it clear that it's only those who come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And it's to serve them that angels are sent. And if a person claims to have seen an angel, yet that person professes no allegiance to Jesus Christ, it's likely that any angel he saw, if he truly saw one, was a fallen angel, one of the devil's messengers, not the Lord's. Not every angel, quote, is from God. Perhaps the Spirit himself directed an angel on that occasion. We know that God commands angels, and we see that in the Scripture, that Jesus the Son can direct angels as well. While facing arrest, Jesus claimed that he could just say the word and his Father would at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels. That's in Matthew 26:53. And a legion is 1,000 at least. So that's a lot of angels. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," Jesus said in Matthew 28:18. Certainly this authority in heaven includes authority over angels. Most Christians agree demonic activity will increase as we near the last days. It's a viewpoint grounded not only in the simple observation of the world that we see, but also in Scripture. In 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul reminds us the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. So we have to be very careful. And I'm going to give you some examples of encounters with angels that are given in God's Word. The first one was with Lot. Genesis 19:1. Now two angels came to Sodom in the evening. Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. In verse 15, when morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of the city." Jacob, in Genesis 28:12, he had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching into heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Genesis 32:1. Now as Jacob went on his way, the angels of God met with him. And don't forget, Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord who touched his thigh. Moses, Exodus 23:20. Behold, I'm going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Be on your guard before him. Obey his voice. Do not be rebellious toward him, for he will not pardon your transgression. My name is in him. Verse 22. But if you truly obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will completely destroy them. So God's angel led God's children into the land. And we all know the story of Balaam and his donkey. Numbers 22:22. But God was angry because he was going, meaning Balaam, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. He was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand, the donkey turned off from the way and went into the field. But Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back to the way. And we remember God actually gave voice to the donkey, and the donkey could see an angel. But the angel of the Lord, this is in verse 35, said to Balaam, "Go with the men, and you shall speak only the words which I tell you." So Balaam went along with the leaders of Balak. So God was giving direction to Balaam through an angel. Elijah, in 1 Kings 19, verse 5, he lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him, and he said, "Arise, eat." The angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, "Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you." So we see here in this case, an angel is providing substance to Elijah so that he can do what God had called him to do. The angel of the Lord is talked about in many scriptures. 2 Kings 19:35. Then it happened that night that the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men rose early in the morning, behold, all of them were dead. Verse 34:7 of Psalms. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear him and rescues him. We all know the story of Daniel and then of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel 3:28 says, Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him, violating the king's command and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own." Daniel 6:22, "My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, and also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime." So God shut the mouth of lions, and angels protected Daniel. And we all know the story of Mary and Joseph and Zacharias. And then this is one of the few cases in Scripture where an angel is actually given a name. Matthew 1:20. "But when he had considered this," this is Joseph, "behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.' And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him," and this is verse 24, "and took Mary as his wife." Matthew 2:13, "And when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him.'" Matthew 2:19, "But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, and said to him," I won't go into that, but again, an angel appeared to Joseph. In Luke 1, verse 11, "An angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense," and this is to Zacharias. Luke 1:12, "Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John.'" Verse 18, "Zacharias said to the angel, 'How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years.'" Verse 19, "The angel answered and said, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news.'" Luke 1:26, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from a city of God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth." Luke 1:30, "The angel said to her," this is to Mary, "'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" Verse 34, "Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God.'" Verse 38, "And Mary said, 'Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word.' And the angel departed her." In Acts chapters 10 and 11, an angel appeared to a Roman soldier, to the centurion. Acts 10:22, "They said, 'Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you.'" Acts 11:13, "He reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here.'" And we can't forget the time Peter was in jail. And the Sadducees were one of the leading groups in Israel at that time, and they did not believe in angels. Acts 23:8, for the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, nor an angel, nor a spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. Acts 5:17, the high priest rose up along with his associates, that is, the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. They laid hands on the apostles and put them in a public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the gates of the prison, taking them out. He said, go, stand, and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life. Upon hearing this, they entered into the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest and his associates came, they called the council together, even all the senate of the sons of Israel, and sent orders to the prison house for them to be brought. But the officers who came did not find them in the prison, and they returned and reported back, saying, we have found the prison house locked quite securely, and the guards standing at the doors, but when we had opened up, we found no one inside. So that must have been a shock to the Sadducees to know that an angel rescued Peter. In Acts 12, verse 7, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell. And then he struck Peter's side and woke him, saying, get up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, gird yourself and put on your sandals. And he did so, and he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and continued to follow, and he did not know what was being done by the angel, if what was being done by the angel was real, but thought that he was seeing a vision. And when they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people who were expecting. Verse 15, Acts 12. They said to her, you are out of your mind. This is, remember, the girl had went to the gate, knocked, and she heard Peter knocking on the gate, and she went back to the disciples and told them, and they said, you're out of your mind. But she kept insisting it was so, and they kept saying, it is his angel. But it wasn't. God had actually rescued him through an angel. Paul, in Acts 27, verses 13 to 26, I'm not going to read all of that. Don't be afraid, Paul, the angel says. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So, what are the ministry of angels? I mean, we've seen some examples here. They continually serve those who inherit salvation. We heard that verse a minute ago, Hebrews 1:14. They reveal unknown truth, as in Daniel chapter 10, verses 14 to 21, and in Acts 27, 23 to 26. And as we've seen examples here, they give personal guidance. Yeah. We saw Joseph getting personal guidance to take Mary as his wife and then later to flee to Egypt. Then we saw, you can't forget, Luke chapter 2. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before him, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I'm bringing you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Can you imagine seeing a whole sky full of angels praising the Lord? The angels also protect from harm, as we just saw in Daniel chapter 6, where the angel shut the lion's den, or shut the lion's mouth, and did not harm Daniel. They've delivered God's people from their enemies, as we just saw with Peter. An angel of the Lord opened the gates of the prison. So, God protects his people from their enemies, from his enemies. Angels are not abstract concepts. Angels are personal, real beings. They have intellect. Matthew 28:5 says, "The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified.'" 1 Peter 1:12 says, "It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which have now been announced to you through those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things in which angels long to look." Can you imagine that we have things that angels want to know about? Angels have emotions. We saw the angels singing praise when announced to the shepherds that the Lord would be born. Job 38:7, "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." That was at creation. Again, Luke 2, chapter 13, "There appeared with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest.'" Luke chapter 15, verse 10, "In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Can you imagine angels having joy? I mean, we don't usually think of angels like this. Angels are spirit beings. They're not limited to material bodies. As we said in Hebrews 1:14, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?" But an angel can only be in one place at one time. Daniel 9, 21 to 23, and so on. We just saw that the angel appeared to Daniel. In Daniel 9, 21, "While I was still speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel," the angel Gabriel, "whom I have seen in the vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. He gave me instruction and talked with me and said, 'Oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight with understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, the command was given, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision.'" In Daniel chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "Then a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. Then he said to me, 'O Daniel, a man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you.' And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, 'Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, that's another angel that's mentioned specifically in the Bible, came to me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. But now I have come to give you understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to days yet future. So in this passage, we see Daniel receiving instruction from the angels. And, interestingly enough, an angel actually touched Daniel. That means that they can have physical shape, physical touch. Angels can appear to men in the form of men, with natural sight and natural human functions. Matthew 1:20. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for the child who has been conceived is of the Holy Spirit. Angels also appeared to Abraham. Genesis 18, verse 1. The Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, and while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day, when he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. My Lord, if I now have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves, that you may, after that, you may go on since you have visited your servant. And they said, so do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly prepare three measures of fine flour and knead it and bake bread cakes. And then Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and choice calf, gave it to the servant, and he hurried to prepare it. He took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and placed it before him. He was standing by them under the tree as they ate. Then the men turned away from there and went on toward Sodom, while Abraham was still standing before the Lord. So angels were actually able to eat and drink and had bodies that appeared physical. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was standing by the gate. And when Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed with his face to the ground. So we see angels without wings in human form eating, sleeping, walking, talking among human beings, gifted with powers to blind and also to destroy under the authority of God. Angels can be seen by some people and not others. 2 Kings 6:15. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city, and his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Angels do not reproduce. Mark 12:26 says, for when they rise from the dead, this is talking about people, they neither marry nor are they given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Angels do not die. Luke 20:36 says, "For they cannot even die anymore, because they are like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection." Angels can have physical reality. They can lead people by the hand, as we saw with Peter. In Genesis 19:16, the men, meaning the angels, seized his hand and the hand of his wife, this is talking about Lot, and the hands of his two daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him, and they brought him out and put him outside the city. We saw that angels can be involved in combat. So the 2 Kings 19, as we read, says that the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. They can be entertained without us even knowing it. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." That's a scary thought in a sense, isn't it? Angels have attributes in a degree greater than man, but less than God. They're more powerful than man, but less than God. Matthew 24:31 says, "And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other." Matthew 24:36, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only." Angels have more knowledge than man, but less than God. 2 Peter 2:11, "Whereas angels who are greater in might and power do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord." Acts 5:19, as we talked, "But during the night an angel of the Lord opened the gates of the prison, taking them out." Angels are organized and have rank. One archangel, Michael, is named in Jude verse 9. There are chief princes talked about in Daniel 10:13. Cherubim in Genesis 3:22-24, where God put cherubim to guard the Garden of Eden. Seraphim in Isaiah 6:1-3. And Revelation 4 talks about the living creatures. Genesis 3:23, "The Lord sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he stationed cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned in every direction to guard the way to the tree of life." And then Isaiah chapter 6, right at the start, is an awesome passage to think about. "In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with his train, the train of his robe, filling the temple. And seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to the other and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" So we've seen the angel of the Lord. We've seen Gabriel as a Masonic messenger. Michael, as a military leader, talks about senior ranks of angels, cherubim, seraphim. Lucifer is an angel that was created by God, and he was the cherub that covered, and he was at the throne of God. Lucifer has lieutenants, Abaddon and Apollyon. Those are talked about in Revelation. The angel of the Lord is talked about, and that is a theophany of Jesus Christ, meaning a pre-incarnate visitation by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a manifestation before the first advent of Christ. Now, Christophanies are post-resurrection appearances of the Lord. The angel of the Lord appeared to Hagar in Genesis 16, verses 7 to 14, to Abraham, announcing the birth of Isaac in Genesis 18, and also appeared when Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac. Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord until God blessed him in Genesis 32. He also appeared to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3. He led the Israelites out of Egypt in Exodus 14. He led Israel through the wilderness in Exodus 23. He appeared to Balaam, as we talked about, to Joshua, to Gideon. Judges 13:22 correlates the angel of the Lord to God himself. Now, the angel of the Lord did not appear to Manoah or his wife again. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. So Manoah said to his wife, "We will surely die, for we have seen God." We talked about Gabriel, essentially a messenger from God, Luke 1:19. And again, sent to Daniel in Daniel 8. And again, he announces the birth of the Lord. Michael is the archangel. It's talked about in Jude chapter 1, verse 9. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against a railing judgment against him, but said that the Lord rebuke you. Michael is a military leader on behalf of Israel. And Revelation chapter 12 talks about war in heaven with Michael and his angels who fought against Satan and his angels. Revelation 12:7 says that, "And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war." Now, we've also talked about cherubim who guard the tree of life in Genesis 3:24. And cherubim have four wings and are shown over the mercy seat. Exodus 25:18 says, "You shall make two cherubim of gold. Make them of hammered work at the two ends of the mercy seat. Make one cherub at one end and one cherub at the other end. And you shall make the cherub of one piece with the mercy seat at its two ends. And the cherubim shall have their wings spread upward, covering the mercy seat with their wings facing one another. And the faces of the cherubim are to be turned toward the mercy seat." And in Isaiah 6:2, we saw seraphim with six wings. "Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, two he covered his feet, and two he flew." Lucifer was talked about as the cherub that covered. And that's a whole other subject, another study in and of itself, is to look at Lucifer or Satan. So, angels were around before the earth was created. Job 38:4 says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know, or who stretched the line on it? on what were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That's at the creation of the universe. The angels were there. This was before man was even created. Thousands and thousands of angels were created. Revelation 5:11 says, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands." Can you imagine seeing that? Myriad is a reference to such a vast number that it can't be counted. Deuteronomy 33:2, "And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir, and he shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came down from the midst of 10,000 holy ones. At his right hand there was flashing lightning for them." Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Psalm 91:11 talks about how angels protect and minister to the Lord Jesus Christ. "For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways." Matthew 4:10-11. And this was when Christ was in the wilderness. Verse 11 says, "Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him." A parallel passage in Mark chapter 1, verse 13, "And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with wild beasts, and the angels were ministering to him." Luke 22:42, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." And now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him after this. Angels protect us. Psalm 91:11 says that he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Psalm 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps round those who fear him and rescues them." Daniel 6:19-22 talks about Daniel in the lion's den. "Yes, my God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of lions." Matthew 18:10, "See to it that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven." That tells us that our children have angels protecting them. That's a neat thought. And protecting us, I'm sure, too. Angels obey the voice of his word. Psalm 103:20, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word." Psalm 148:2 says, "Praise him, all his angels, praise him, all his host." Angels are warriors for God. Exodus 12:23, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to smite you." Second Thessalonians chapter 1:7 says, "And to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Angels do not marry. Matthew 22:30 says, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven." Matthew 25:31, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne." Matthew 25:41, "He will say also to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels.'" And again, Matthew 26:53, "Do you not think that I can appeal to my Father and he will put at once at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" Angels' power is limited by God. Romans 8:38, this is the neat verse. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth or any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord." That's an amazing verse. Angels are under the authority of Jesus Christ and God the Father. 1 Peter 3:22 says, "Who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to him." This is talking about the Lord. 2 Peter 2:4, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell, and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment." Jude 1:6, "And angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day." So angels are under the authority of God the Father and of Jesus Christ. Angels watch us. This is 1 Corinthians 4:9, "For I think God has exhibited to us apostles last of all, as men condemned to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men." That tells us that angels watch and learn from us. That word spectacle that we translate in spectacle in the English actually comes from the Greek word, and it's theatron. Well, that's where we get the word theater from. So we are in a theater where the angels watch. Angels are messengers to the churches. Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. "As for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw on my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." Psalm 78:25 says that angels eat. A man did eat the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance. That was when manna was given to the Jews. So, do angels still do all of these things? I think that they do. We can't see them. But I see no reason why God still doesn't use his angels to protect us, to guide us, to direct us. So, some final notes, just a couple things. We must not create or reshape angels according to our own fancies. You know, today you can see angels in paintings, in books, lapel pins, china figures, dashboard figurines, a whole bunch of different things. And there is no gender that is indicated in Scripture with reference to angels. But in Scripture, angels are always masculine. Sometimes people say they've seen a female angel, but the Bible never points this out. Nor do angels appear as an animal or as a bird or any other created creature. They're a separate creation. Angels are a created class of beings and never represented as spiritually progressed humans. In other words, humans don't evolve or transform into angels. And a children's book on angels might say, heaven is a place where little girls are turned into angels, and God tries then to do his best with little boys, but that's not true. The sweetest child is not really an angel. And, the folks that we love who have left us and gone on to heaven, they're not transformed into angels. They don't gain their wings, as you see people say so often. Or, you hear people say, God gained another angel. The Bible doesn't indicate that's true. And there is no angel within us. In other words, when we tell a child, oh, you're an angel, I know we're just commending them or so on, but they're not angels. Secondly, we must never let angels replace God in our lives. People focus on angels, and there are a lot of spiritual fads out there that focus on angels, and we saw that in a lot of TV shows and things. But angels should never replace God. Angels are created beings, and God is the one who needs our worship and adoration. And if we turn to angels for help, we're not to do that. We're to turn to God. And remember, Satan dresses up as an angel of light, so we need to be very careful the guidance that we are seeking. An angel, even though they are holy, can be holy beings, they are never above God, and they're never to be turned into an angel or into an idol, and they're never to be worshipped. Romans 1:25 says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. We have to be very careful about that. In Deuteronomy 4:19 says, beware, do not lift your eyes up to heaven and see the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all the host of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them, for those which the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the heaven. In Revelation, John fell at the feet of one of the angels, and the angel's rebuke was quick. It says, do not do it. I'm a fellow with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Revelation 19:10. Revelation 22:6, and he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his bondservants the things which must take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours with your brethren, the prophets, and those who heed the words of this book. So there's a lot more we could go into about Lucifer or Satan, fallen angels. If you want to read Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19, that's a very interesting passage to read. Also, Isaiah 14, verses 11 to 17, also talks about Satan. And remember, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. But our salvation is in the Lord. And He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who should receive our worship. So, next time, maybe sometime, we can go into this in more detail. If you want, these lessons are also already on sermon audio, all three lessons that I did on angels. And there is a ton of material and a lot of it that we haven't even touched on yet. So thank you. Okay. Joe?